we started off by talking about some of the things that you can do as a wizard, and what magical practice means as you define it. But can you ever, I mean, is there, are there some wizards who can do the things which, you know, we've always associated with wizardry, like teleportation?
Well, teleportation, now that's a kind of a tricky one. I've never heard of anybody actually being able to do that precisely, although there are certainly examples of small levitation type stuff that have been reported. And I can't do that. I can do a bit of psychokinesis. I can do a great deal of telepathy.
Can you move? You can move objects with your mind?
Certain things, yes. I'm particularly good at flame and smoke type of stuff and cloud stuff. Weather working is one of the things that we teach, and the ability to shift the clouds a little bit in the degree of weather working is definitely a learnable skill. It can be done. And I've taught many kids and people sitting around campfires on how to move the smoke to keep it out of their eyes, you know. So that's a fairly straightforward thing. Most of these things can be taught. There's very little in the realm of magic that is that can't be just learned by many people. But it's like learning music or art, you know. There's an art to it. Now, that's the magic part of it, but wizardry isn't just magic. The word literally means wisdom. And so a wizard is a wise one, you know, and the whole function of a wizard throughout all of history, their role is to be a teacher and a mentor and a guide and a counselor. In most of the stories where wizards appear, they perform a virtually identical role of teaching the young hero what it is he needs to know before he goes off on the quest, you know, which will change everything. And yet that's what you encounter all the time in the stories. Wizards have historically, and as well in stories, been advisors to kings and royalty. One of the very first recorded wizards in all of history was Imhotep of Egypt, and he was an amazing man. He was he still comes down to us in the legend of the living mummy, because he never died, according to the stories and legends. He's among those people whose legends did not include a death, you know, exactly. So we have a few people like you know, Imhotep and Dracula and Santa Claus and Elvis Presley, you know, who never really quite died, attained immortality in that sense. But he was the first architect, the first astronomer, the first person to record medical treatises. The amazing thing about wizardry is that it's so well documented. We have the records because wizards in history tended to write down stuff, some of them prolifically, like Leonardo da Vinci was one of the great wizards of the Renaissance time, probably the most famous one.
And we consider him a wizard?
Absolutely. No question about it.
Did he consider himself to be a wizard?
Well, you know, I think this does not appear precisely that way in his things. The problem about wizardry and being a wizard is that most of the time it's something that other people refer to you as rather than something that you call yourself, you know. It's becoming more popular now to call oneself a wizard, but until I started doing it, there weren't very many people you would find in the modern world who use that term for themselves. But we've used it for others. We've talked about computer wizards. We've talked about great scientists like Mr. Fuller or as being a wizard, you know. I mean, the word has been used for people who are known for their mastery of esoteric knowledge and lore and things like that. And there are many, many examples throughout history, you know.
Or there can be the use of the term can also be applied to people like the Wizard of Oz, which actually implies somebody who gives the appearance of ability who doesn't really actually have it.
Well, true, but the point about the Wizard of Oz story was that he was merely pretending to be a wizard, and he wasn't really a wizard.
Okay.
The question is, what is really a wizard? You know, is somebody who really actually has the goods, you know, who really does know the stuff, you know? And so he was, the point about him is he was being a fake wizard, you know?
Okay. Well, fair enough on that. Now, but let me ask you, whenever I see images of wizards, such as yourself, invariably they are pictured with a staff, with a wizard staff. Is it true that the magic is in the staff?
Well, the magic is in the wizard, is in their heart. But a staff is associated with wizard in and it's sort of almost a part of the wizard in a sense. You know, the staff is generally made at the same height as the wizard, and it's something that they can be used to direct the power energy or to be a repository of the power energy, like a battery, you know, might be seen. It commands respect. It's a badge of office. It's like the scepter of a, you know, of a king kind of a thing. You know, there are certain instruments and badges of office and funny hats that are worn by people. You know, the bishop's crozier, you know, of a Catholic bishop, for example, is essentially a wizard staff. You know, the pointy hats that you find in all of the wizard things from the dawn of time on up is a part of all this. So these things are part of what the full image, you know, conveys that, you know, and it's all a part of it in that sense. Yeah, but they are directed. The staff is directed power, and it is associated with in some sense it's hard to define. It is the wizard, you know. It's the part of him that you can stay. I have stood my staff in the middle of a field, you know, and come back to it an hour later because it has a pointy end. I can stick it in the ground, you know, and everybody knows that that's my place, you know. Is that
well,
you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I like that as sort of an avatar, then,
yes,
if you will, of your
exactly
power, like, of who you are.
Exactly, like we use those avatars online. It's that kind of a thing. It projects that. It's, and they're very individual. Each staff is unique and individual. No two are alike, you know.
When does wizardry become sorcery?
Ah, that's a very good question. Well, sorcery, which is another term, other terms for sorcery are black magic and low magic. And these are, practical magic is another one, actually. These tend to be forms of magic that are used specifically to have a physical effect in the world and on other people. And mostly these are methods of control of some sort. And sorcery is understood as one of those types of skills to be developed by almost anybody studying magic. It includes, things like a voodoo doll is a classic example. You know, I mean, you put that in parentheses, you know, but of that kind of a thing where you create an image and you do something to it. Sympathetic magic is the type of magic that's involved there, where you create something that represents another thing, and then what you do to this thing affects the other. That's the basic principle behind all of this. But somebody to claim the title of a sorcerer, or to be called a sorcerer as opposed to a wizard, is generally a very negative connotation. It implies somebody whose purpose is not to serve, but to be served. A sorcerer, a wizard wishes to serve, a sorcerer wishes to rule. And that is a major distinction that has been made throughout history, really. And so you can often look at people who have claimed these powers or had these desires, and you can see the difference between, say, Gandalf and Saruman, you know, the wizard and the sorcerer, or between Dumbledore and Voldemort in the Harry Potter series.